So, before I begin, I just want to say I went to Bakersfield for the weekend.
Woo-hoo!
And I came back a hippie cowgirl.
You tell us the time?
Something like that. Flower child of the West. That's it. So I grew up in Bakersfield, and when I was 8 years old, approximately, I was supposed to go to the babysitter's house after school. The school bus was going to drop me off there rather than at my own house, which was even farther out into the oil fields north of Bakersfield. And when I walked down the hill off the bus to my babysitter's house, there was a strange car out in front. And I was shy. Still am, but you'll never believe that. I was so shy that I was terrified of meeting strangers, so I hid behind a tree outside the babysitter's house for approximately 2.5 hours until my mother arrived to pick me up, at which time I discovered the babysitter had bought a new car. We are paralyzed. Fear is a debilitating influence on all of our lives. When I was a senior in high school, I was supposed to get a speaker for the high school awards banquet. And I had one and only one individual in mind. It was Rayford Johnson. He'd won the gold medal for the Olympic decathlon, and that was so long ago that most of you weren't even born yet. But I sent a letter to Rayford Johnson, and he declined graciously. He had a previous commitment. I was paralyzed. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any other ideas in my head. And I was uncertain as to how to escape this gracefully. What ended up happening was that I told the committee that I couldn't do it, and one of the parents had to find another speaker, and they found an inspirational speaker from their church. I was humiliated, and I wore that for a number of years, actually, that I couldn't do it, that I had not been able to keep my promise. Uncertainty is a debilitating influence on our lives. Once upon a time, Jane Langan said, "Lindy, you should be up there," and pointed to this platform. And I said, "Oh no, Jane, I'm afraid, I'm uncertain, I couldn't do that, at least I didn't think I could." I was in doubt of the gifts that the Creator has given me. Doubt is a debilitating influence on our lives. Now, interestingly enough, I grew up with an acronym for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's called FUD. And many of you have heard FUD. It happens in the military all the time. It happens in business even more often than it happens in the military. Fear and uncertainty and doubt run the lives of most of the people on the planet in one form or another. But do they have to?
No.
Let's think about it. Tomorrow is Groundhog Day. Now that sounds like a non-sequitur if ever I heard one, doesn't it? But trust me, I have somewhere to go, and Groundhog Day is going to get me there. Tomorrow is Groundhog Day. Now, for those of you that are not intimately acquainted with Groundhog Day, it is the day upon which the groundhog named Punxsutawney Phil climbs out of his hole at 6 in the morning or some ungodly hour. And if he sees his shadow, or if he doesn't, I forget, and who cares? There are going to be 6 more weeks of winter. Well, guess what? Groundhog Day is February 2nd. Winter isn't over until March 21st. Whatever happens, whether he sees a shadow or not, there's still going to be 6 more weeks of winter. I'm certain about that. Thank you, Dennis. A few years back, there was a wonderful movie named Groundhog Day. How many of you saw that movie? Oh, nearly everyone. And those of you who haven't should go to your local video store and rent it. It's a fabulous movie. Groundhog Day, the movie, is one of the most enlightened movies I've ever seen. And you think, oh, it's just a dumb comedy, right? Bill Murray, an unlikable news reporter, goes to this small town in Pennsylvania or wherever Punxsutawney Phil steps out of his hole to report on the story. And he wakes up at 6 o'clock that morning, and he has these experiences where somebody falls out of a tree in front of him, and he says bad things, he gets into a fight, and denigrates the woman that he thinks he'd like to fall in love with, and he just generally is an overall jerk for 24 hours. And the next morning he wakes up and the clock strikes 6 a.m. and it's the same day all over again. And he pretty much behaves the same way. And the next day he wakes up and it's 6 a.m. the same day all over again. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in the course of the movie, he catches the person falling out of the tree in front of him. He learns to be polite to his lady friend. In fact, more about that later. He hasn't ever studied music, and he learns to play the piano in classical style, and he eventually ends up sitting in with the local band at the club where he got drunk the first time. So now he's playing in the band instead of drinking. He's being polite to his lady friend instead of being a jerk to her. He doesn't get in a fight. In fact, he makes friends with the individual that he was fighting with in the first instance of the Groundhog Day event. And guess what? Through living life the same over and over again day, he grows and learns to become a human being. At the end of the movie, he actually, how shall I say this? Wins the girl. Thank you, Larry. He finds true love in his heart, and he wins the girl, and the next morning he wakes up, and it's a different day. Now, the moral of this story, it should be clear to all of you, that each and every one of us is living our own Groundhog Day. Every day we wake up, and it's the same day, unless we learn and grow and become more loving. Unless we start catching people instead of letting them fall in front of us. Unless we start being polite and kind instead of being jerks. Unless we start loving instead of abusing. Unless we change fear, uncertainty, and doubt to something more productive. So each and every one of us have an opportunity every morning that we wake up to look at the clock and go, well, is it February 2nd again, or is it February 3rd, or even perhaps March 4th? I've always loved the symbology of the name of March 4th, because that's the day that we can march forth into our future. There's no other day like that in the year. Think about it. Thinking about it. Okay. So anyway, is it February 2nd again and again and again and again? Is every day the same, filled with fear, filled with uncertainty, filled with doubt? Or do we have an opportunity to grow and change and develop and become kinder, gentler, more loving, more godly? And if we were going to change fear, uncertainty, and doubt into something, what would we change it into? We could change it into faith, understanding, and discernment. Yeah, ooh, indeed. I was young and stupid. Well, that's kind of redundant, I guess, but I was in New York when I was in my 20s, in Manhattan. And I was happily having a good time at a jazz club in the Lower Village there. And when I came out, it was 2 in the morning. and I couldn't find the subway. And I was kind of, you know, and people would say, he must have been really stupid to be even looking for the subway at 2 in the morning. Suffice it to say, I was wandering around the streets of the lower Manhattan Village looking for a subway entrance at 2 in the morning, and I was not afraid. Why was I not afraid? Drunk, I was with God. I had faith. Seriously, I had faith. I knew that I had guardian angels around me. I knew that I would be protected. And I knew that I was okay. So maybe it was stupid not to be afraid, but my fear became faith. And what's so stupid about that? I look back on that experience of not being able to get a speaker for my high school awards banquet. And I realized, with the understanding of maturity, that nobody can do anything alone. We must have help. And when we need it, it's there to ask for. If we don't ask for it, who's the dumb one? Me. The wisest man I know said life is a 1.5 person job. You've probably heard me say that before. I could have asked my parents. I could have asked my minister, I could have asked my friend, I could have asked virtually anybody. Instead of throwing up my hands and saying, I can't do it, shame on me, how about I didn't ask, shame on me? But it takes the understanding of a certain amount of maturity in order to reach those conclusions, and that's why I love the song we sang tonight, I Love Myself the Way I Am. Because I love myself the way I am, and still I want to grow. But change outside can only come when deep inside I know I'm beautiful and capable of being the best me I can. Turning uncertainty into understanding can make a huge difference in our perception of life. And finally, turning doubt into discernment can do likewise. The day I spoke of when Jane said, Linda, you should be up there, I said, no, no, not me. I'm not ready yet. That very same day, Millie stood right here at this lectern and went like this. And I was discerning enough in that moment where I hadn't believed Jane for God knows whatever reason. I was discerning enough to say that if Jane and Millie thought I was ready, and by golly, I'd give it a try. And I distinctly remember saying thank you, Jane, that very evening. Because she believed in me, Millie believed in me, and I was discerning enough to accept their judgment of me rather than my own. And the rest is sort of history, isn't it? So what have we learned? We've learned that we can live each day over and over again, and have it be the same, which if you're living in joy and happiness and fun, is not a bad thing. Or we can live the same day over again, and if we're living in fear, uncertainty, and doubt, we don't have to stay there. We can move into faith, understanding, and discernment. Now, I've got lots of quotes which I haven't used, but which I intend to share some of, because like the drunk uses the lamppost, I intend to use my quotes for support, if not illumination. Marie Curie said, nothing in life is to be feared, it is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less. Marilyn Ferguson said, fear is a question. What are you afraid of and why? Just as the seed of health is in illness, because illness contains information, your fears are a treasure house of self-knowledge if you explore them. What are we afraid of? We can learn from that. I was terrified of meeting strangers when I was 8 years old. So one of the things that I did as an adult was I joined Toastmasters. Toastmasters is a club that purports to be about learning to be a public speaker, but what it's really about is self-confidence and the ability to mix in a group. every week, new people would come into our meeting, and every one of us was obligated to go up and shake that person's hand and say, good morning, my name is, in my case, Lindy. And when you learn to greet strangers like that, it becomes a fact that they aren't strangers any longer, that you can do that in any room, should you be desirous of doing so. Bertrand Russell said, to conquer fear is the beginning of wisdom. Shaking the hands of strangers is the beginning of conquering fear. I said I was going to use them all. There are two ways to slide easily through life: to believe everything or to doubt everything. Both ways save us from thinking. I like that one. That was Alfred Korzybski, whoever he was. Franklin D. Roosevelt, we all know who he was, said the only limits to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today. Let us move forward with strong and active faith. If we can put fear, uncertainty, he also said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, which is really not true, because what we most have to fear is not the fear itself, but the things that we don't do because of the fear. The regrets that we have for things that we don't do because we're afraid are the greatest fear that we can have. Because if we have to die without saying, I did everything I wanted to do, or I had an opportunity and didn't pass up any of the opportunities, then we can die happy. Which brings me to the next part of my talk. And that is, I wanted to credit Mimi with being an inspiration. You know, Mary talked last week about how Mimi was an inspiration in her death. But I want to talk about how Mimi was an inspiration in the way that she lived. On the brochure that we got at her memorial service, it said, live, love, and laugh. And if we could just follow that simple motto, live, love, and laugh, how much joy and happiness would each one of us have? You know, you can't live and laugh without loving, and you can't love without living and laughing. You put it all together, and it's what I call the three L's, which makes all of us here three L seekers, or thrill seekers. So Mimi taught me to be a thrill seeker. Now, that's kind of ironic in a way, because I'm sure Mimi had a few thrills that she fought on her own without living, loving, and laughing and being involved. But you can bet that living, loving, and laughing, while maybe not what she was seeking, were what she found. And if each and every one of us were to follow those three simple words, we would find thrills beyond measure. So I want to close with a couple of more quotes. One is Helen Keller. I do not want the peace which passeth understanding. I want the understanding which bringeth peace. And someone named Sonia Castillo, who wrote this in apparently the year 2000. This may sound vaguely familiar at first, but trust me, it's got a twist. One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they're too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand, or leave their butt prints in the sand. There's a great country song called I Hope You Dance. The line says, when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. And I say, it's Groundhog Day. If you sit it out, tomorrow you get another chance. Thank you for giving me this talk.
You know, living spiritually is living life the fun way. Isn't that fun? What a shame to have to sit around all crinkled up. But I think in all the years, and we've been here since 1970, in this room since 1979, never entered, never left the door, no, in Coleman Heights. But since 79, and only once have I had somebody complain that it's not spiritual to have all this hilarity that we have here at times. Only one person complained. So I think an awful lot of people agree with me that spiritually living is a joyous, happy way, and that's exactly what our Lindy explained tonight. I've got to have joy, I've got to be spiritual. Joy. Great lady, Lindy. You're a great lady.